And I encourage you to grab your pew Bible from in front of you if you'd like, or you can look on the cover of your bulletin. We're actually going to start with the New Testament reading, Matthew 6, and then go to Psalm 1. So if you want to follow along with the Matthew reading, you're going to have to get the pew Bible out because we didn't put it on the cover of the bulletin because we wanted to make life difficult for you. It was Vonnie's idea, not mine. I'm just kidding. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then turning to Psalm 1, our reading continues. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, we have, as of last week, concluded our series on the Lord's Prayer, but as much of a wealth of wisdom and guidance that is for us, there's still a lot about prayer that's difficult and challenging, and so we turn, without completely leaving the Lord's Prayer behind, to the book of Psalms, the Hebrew Psalter. It's the Hebrew prayer book. And through it, we will find a lot of help through some of the areas in which we struggle in prayer as well. Because the truth is, as we've already mentioned this morning, as we all know, the Christian life brings with it a lot of joys and rewards, but it brings many challenges as well. And one of the greatest, as we've talked about, is the issue of prayer. We know we ought to do it. We are encouraged repeatedly throughout Scripture to participate in it, but something about it just continues to be hard. Thankfully, the Bible, knowing this about us, offers an enormous amount of help regarding prayer. And so today, we transition from the Lord's Prayer to the book of Psalms, using it as our guide for prayer. And through this series, we'll see that the Psalms have a lot to teach us regarding how to approach God in prayer. But it starts by admitting that very thing. Again, we've touched on this throughout the Lord's Prayer series, but we're going to talk about it directly today, and that is that praying is hard work. It's just not easy for us to do. We talk about it in ways that make it sound like it should be as easy as talking to a friend. But yet, we all know it isn't that easy, mostly because it's hard to have a conversation with somebody that you cannot see or hear or touch or feel, and who often, at least it seems like, doesn't talk back to us. So as we work through these two passages today from Matthew 6 and Psalm 1, we will see that we can move past the problem with prayer by adopting three prayerful postures. So let's take a moment and do that thing, that very thing. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word made flesh in Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for your patience with us in the times when we pray and the times when we don't. We thank you, God, for understanding when we don't pray as often as we ought, and for being present with us, whether we are praying or not. And so, Lord, as we get into your word this morning, may we be aware of the presence of your Spirit in our hearts. And would you create in us a yearning, a desire to spend time with you in prayer, to adopt the posture of prayer that will make it easier in some respects for us to meet with you, to talk with you, to hear from you. Lord, as we go through this word this morning, it is our prayer to hear the soft sound of your Son's sandaled feet. It is in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we all know, prayer is one of the most fundamental aspects of our Christian life. We pray multiple times throughout our worship services. We are intentional in sharing with each other our prayer requests. When somebody tells us they're struggling or hurting, we're quick to say earnestly, "I will be praying for you." And we do. One of the first things we memorize as we are becoming Christians or in Sunday school growing up is the Lord's Prayer. We know prayer is as essential a part of our life as the Apostles' Creed or as gathering for worship on Sunday morning each week. But yet many of us struggle to make prayer a vital part of our spiritual life, as vital as breathing and eating is in our daily lives. We know it should be that important, but actually making it that important. Well, it's hard to keep something central in your life when you can't see what comes of it, right? It's kind of like when you set out to lose weight, and so you eat a salad at lunch that first day, and you step on the scale the next day, and you can't figure out why you didn't lose any weight, because you still ate 3 hamburgers for dinner. Not that that's a personal story, and if it were, I wouldn't admit it. I didn't see any result, so why should I keep trying? And prayer is very much the same way. So much of prayer seems so intangible. There's nothing to grab onto, to touch, to feel. How many nights have you laid awake, desperate in prayer, but feeling as if everything you were saying was just bouncing right off the ceiling and coming back? How do you know if your prayers are getting through when the one to whom we're attempting to talk is so often so very silent? Maybe, I've wondered over the years, maybe part of the problem with prayer is actually the way we go about practicing prayer. I know over the course of my walk with Christ, I've tried a variety of methods of praying. Perhaps you can relate to a few of these. For a while there, especially when I was in school, I tried the bargaining method of prayer. I can tell some of you resonate with this without even me telling you about it. But this is how this works. The bargaining method goes something like this. Dear God, I have a math exam in 5 minutes. And I know I haven't studied, really haven't done any of my homework either. But if you would make the pen write the correct answers, and if I get an A, then I promise that I will give up chocolate for the rest of my life. Of course, I didn't really eat all that much chocolate to begin with, and so I also didn't get an A on the test. So recognizing over time as I grew as a Christian that there's something inherently wrong, one might say, with the bargaining method of prayer, I moved on to the drive-through prayer technique. I would begin to pray and then almost attempting to get everything out in one breath, I would unload all my burdens, my baggage, my needs in as quickly as I possibly could and then move on. Now, eventually, I came to realize that since God is omniscient, right? Which means that he knows everything. Then he knows my prayers before I even say them. Actually, isn't that what Jesus even said? He knows what you're going to ask before you even bring it to him. Well, if that's the case, then I really don't have to say them at all, right? And so the drive-through technique really got reduced down to, hey, God, you know what's up, so please hook me up with a little divine help. Amen. Really? So many prayers reduced to that in my life. Well, after this phase, I didn't stay in this phase very long. I graduated to what I call the flattery will get you everything prayer technique. My prayers became effusive in praise and honoring God in the hopes that if I flatter him enough, then just maybe he'll be willing to acquiesce to my requests. It's kind of like my nephew. My nephew, such a charmer. When he was 4 or 5 years old, he figured out that if he could just flash his smile, and let me tell you what, he had a really cute smile. In fact, I would argue my nephew's smile at that age is now currently the third cutest smile at that age I've ever seen, exceeded only by my own children's. He would flash his smile and he would get almost everything that he wanted. Unfortunately, that doesn't quite work with God. He's wise to that trick. There was even a time in my spiritual journey where I treated God as something of a cosmic bellhop, a concierge, you might say. I would toss up a prayer whenever I think I needed something, just like ringing the bell on the desk, and otherwise did everything I could to ignore that God was even there. I thought that surely God would answer my prayers and give me what I wanted because, well, I asked. Shouldn't that be good enough? I am, therefore God answers my prayers the way I want them answered. Doesn't Scripture say that whatever we ask will be given to us? Sort of. Well, pretty much for most of my prayer life, I've entered prayer with the mindset and the expectation that God would either change the way he was dealing with me or he would change the circumstances and other people around me if I prayed. And I think that most of us struggle with something of the same attitude. We enter prayer with this mentality of talking to God rather than talking with God. We tell him what we want or need. We ask for everything around us to change, but not us. I've heard that so many times. People who say, I have no problem with change as long as I'm not the one who has to do it. And I think we pray the same way. I know often I do. So I've come to realize that ultimately the problem with prayer comes down to one of posture. If the posture into which we enter prayer is out of whack, then we find that our prayers and what results from them are also out of whack. So as we correct our prayer posture, we will find that we can move past the problem with prayer. Thinking about this problem of posture, if we look at the beginning of Psalm 1, everything talked about there is actually a matter of posture. Specifically, what kind of posture we should avoid having. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. So here in this one verse, we move from walking to standing to sitting. We move from the counsel of the wicked to the way of sinners to the seat of mockers. And so we see in this that as much as we do need to know what a good prayer posture is like, it is equally important to know what a bad prayer posture looks like. If we're practicing bad prayer posture because we're walking in the counsel of the wicked or standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of mockers, well, we're going to struggle with prayer. So what does a good prayer posture look like? Well, the first posture that we need to take is a posture of humility. We need to enter the prayer recognizing, remembering, knowing that, quite simply, God is God and we are not. Throughout Scripture, we're reminded that God not only knows what we want, He knows, more importantly, exactly what we need. And He, almost every time, knows it better and before we do. We, brothers and sisters, I hate to tell you, are not the Creator. We are the creation. And our prayers shouldn't be done in such a manner that they are flashy and flamboyant, as if we are trying to impress others or even God with just how spiritual we are. As Jesus says in the beginning of our reading in Matthew 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." As we saw throughout our previous series, the Lord's Prayer constantly emphasizes this posture of humility. The first sentence of the prayer declares who the Lord is and His sovereignty over not just our lives, but this entire world. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Through this prayer every week, we recognize that He is the master and we are the servant. That He is the one leading and we are the ones who follow. It is a posture of humility. The second prayer posture we're called to adopt is a posture of listening. And I have to be honest, I think this is probably one of the hardest postures for us to take. After all, don't we in our relationships with our friends, our spouses, our family members struggle sometimes to listen? Granted, we may often hear the words that are spoken, but so often we miss what is being said. I'm generalizing here. This never happens in my house. I only imagine it for you because I've never been caught not listening to my wife talking this morning. Right in front of me. And I still have no clue what she said. And I totally got called out for it. And she was right in front of me. How much harder is it for us to listen to God? Isn't this something we struggle with in our walk with the Lord? Truly listening to our brothers and sisters in order to understand where they're coming from? That's a problem we have, I think, in our culture right now. We get into a disagreement with somebody and we only listen enough to figure out how to argue back rather than listening to actually understand why they think the way they do, even though it's different from us. And these are people we see, we hear, we can touch while talking to them. It's hard to listen. And it's even harder with God. We certainly can't see God. We can't touch God, and most of us would probably say we have never heard the audible voice of God respond to us. How do you listen to one who doesn't talk? How do you hear one who, even when he shouts, is as loud as a breath of wind in the springtime? Twice in the Psalms, we are told to be still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Be still and know that I am God. Even the prophets that God spoke to, well, God spoke to them quietly. You may remember the story of Elijah. Elijah, after the incredible victory over Baal and Jezebel and Ahab, kind of runs away and goes off on a mountain by himself. And sits there. Well, one day God was told, "Go, stand on the mountain at attention before God, for God will pass by." And then a hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God. But God wasn't to be found in the wind. After the wind came an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, fire, but God wasn't in the fire. After the fire, a gentle and quiet whisper. When Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his great cloak, went to the mouth of the cave, and stood there. God was in the whisper. Brothers and sisters, if all we do is talk when we pray, how will we ever know if God is speaking? For we won't be able to hear him speaking back to us. In fact, we should probably spend more time in our prayer seeking to be still and quiet and listening rather than laying our requests before God one after the other as we tend to do. That is actually why we have in our worship this morning and most mornings a time of silent guided prayer. In many respects, it does serve as a prayer of confession and an assurance of pardon, but it's a key moment in the service, and I have to be honest with you, it's one of my favorite moments in the service. Because we do something we just don't do ever the rest of the week. We sit in stillness and in quiet and are intentional in listening to what God would say to us, particularly what God would say to us in response to our confession of sinfulness. So in all of our prayers, we need to adopt a posture of listening and a posture of humility. Another key posture in prayer that we need to be intentional in adopting is a posture of change. So often in prayer, as we talked about earlier, we expect God to be the one who changes, or we expect God to change our circumstances around us. But really, the key to prayer is asking the question, how willing am I to be changed? As Richard Foster writes, to pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue that God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic in our life. You see, prayer, just like the other spiritual disciplines, aren't about us getting God to change his mind, but rather placing us in the path of God's grace so that we might be changed. It's like the tree that we read about in Psalm 1. The tree doesn't make the water come to it. Rather, it grows its roots down into the soil, underneath the stream, in the path of the stream, so that it can receive the nourishment from the stream itself. The result? Well, we're told in the psalm, it yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. The person who follows in this path is the person who prospers. It's also interesting to note in this that when you read the psalm, we're told that this tree is planted by streams of water. The tree didn't start out by the streams. It was moved and planted there. And when we pray, God moves us next to his streams so that we will be changed. That movement is a change. And then the growth that comes is a further change. So we need to adopt a posture of change. Brothers and sisters, when we adopt these three postures, the posture of humility, the posture of listening, and the posture of change, then we put ourselves in the path of God's grace. It is then that we find ourselves meeting God in our prayers. And when that happens, we are able to make prayer a noticeable characteristic of our lives. As we continue through our series on the Psalms, we will see how the psalmists themselves, by adopting the right prayer posture when they prayed, were able to pray with astonishing honesty and passion. We will see how we can approach God. How do you approach an inapproachable, transcendent, perfect, holy God? We will see how to confess our sins to him, how to trust him. How do we cry out to God when there is no hope in our lives? And ultimately, we will see how to live triumphantly through Jesus Christ in our prayers as well. Brothers and sisters, may God continue to draw us nearer to Him through prayer, encouraging us and strengthening prayer as a habit in our lives over the course of this season of Lent. Amen. Would you once again join me in prayer? Lord God's prayer is so often something that we do on Sunday mornings, something we know we should do during the week, but it is sometimes so hard to find the time. Thank you, God, for meeting us in the midst of those quick 5-minute or even 2-minute prayers that we toss up. But Lord, in the midst of those prayers, would you give us a yearning desire to draw closer to you, to be changed by your grace, to listen to your still small voice, and to humbly celebrate and rejoice in the fact that you are God and we are not. Thank you, God, for the Psalms, for your word, for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.